Congregation, let's remain standing and for the reading of God's holy word, which will come to us in Matthew, from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, this is what's known as the parable of the talents, and we're going to break this into two sermons, so we'll deal with 14 to 23 today, and next time we'll deal with the rest of the passage. Right, Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. This is God's holy word. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and all of God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to be instructed, we want to be changed by the preaching of your word. Father, this is all impossible without the work of your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds, to open our hearts and minds, to receive it. Be with your servant now as he seeks to give it, to proclaim it faithfully. Lord, he needs your strength. And Father, to help be clear on what he preaches. Father, be with us now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Congregation, as Christians, we have every reason to be generous givers. To be generous givers. We know that our money and possessions, they don't define who we are. They don't give us lasting security and comfort. Rather, they are to be used to worship God, to advance the gospel, and to love our neighbor. We have every reason to be generous givers, because, to quote the Heidelberg Catechism, we trust as to have no doubt that He, that is God, will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. We have every reason to be generous givers because we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. Who knows we need clothing and food and shelter, and provides for us generously. We have a Heavenly Father who feeds the birds of the air. Our Father clothes the flowers of the field. And yet Jesus says, how much more are you worth more than birds, than flowers, than sparrows? Psalm 145 says, you, Lord, open your hand and satisfy the desire of every good thing. God generously gives to all of creation, but especially in a unique way, he gives generously to his children. Therefore, we give generously as stewards. That said, we don't always walk consistently with these convictions. And one of those reasons is because we struggle with a sense of entitlement. We see this entitlement from people in our world who think they deserve everything without doing anything. And although we may respond to people like that in our conscience saying, oh, I'm glad I'm not that person. I'm glad I'm not like them. Christians struggle with entitlement as well. And this is not recent research, but the statistics on the percentage on how many Christians give faithfully to the church is shockingly low. Some say 5% of Christians give faithfully. Some say 15% give faithfully. But regardless of the exact numbers, the fact remains, as Christians, we struggle with entitlement more than we care to admit. There may be other reasons why Christians don't give to the church, but I submit to you that this is one of those big reasons, one of the bigger reasons. Overall, entitlement says, I demand to get what I deserve. And as Christians, we can wiggle our way around that by saying, some things I own are for me, and the other things that I own are for God. That sounds nice, but that still comes from a heart of entitlement. And we'll see that. We'll see the reason why from this parable. Deuteronomy 8:17 warns us of this spirit of entitlement. He speaks this directly or specifically to Israel when they were going into the land of promise. He says, be careful that you don't forget that the Lord your God is the one who brought you here to this land. So he warns us with this sense of entitlement, lest our hearts would say, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But the Lord reminds us right after that, saying, it is He who gives us the power to get wealth, all the possessions that we own. Well, likewise, in this parable today, Jesus teaches us that we are to make most of our time, we are to make the most of the skills and our money and possessions that He has given us. That's going to be the focus today. And just like last week, there's a breakdown. The setting of this parable is really in verse 14. Verse 14 is the setting, and then verses 15 to 18 is really the responsibility of what we're called to do in light of the setting. And then verse 19 is the crisis moment when the master calls to comes to settle the accounts. And then verses 20 to 23 is the consequences for the righteous servants. And so this week we're going to focus more on the righteous servants. Next time we'll focus more on the unrighteous servant. All right, so let's begin at verse 14, the setting. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So the setting is that there is a wealthy landowner who is traveling to a faraway place. Now, since the master in this parable cares a great deal about his assets, we can assume that he is going away in this far country to increase his assets, to increase his wealth, his business, his enterprise. But before he goes on his leave, he calls his servants. And Jesus uses the word deliver. He delivers goods to them. Now, the word deliver is more than just handing something over to somebody. You know, Domino's delivers. But the word deliver here means to entrust. Right? I'm entrusting you with something that belongs to me. Jesus is giving this parable to prepare his disciples and the church to know how to live while he is physically away. And that's the time we live in right now as Christians and as a church. Now, Christ is very much present in regards to through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, right? As Jesus will conclude Matthew's gospel saying, I will be with you even to the end of the age. So Christ is with us, but he's not physically. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. As of today, Christ remains seated, physically seated at the Father's right hand until the time comes when every eye will see him in all of his glory, in all of his majesty. This is the context of our lives as Christians. We live for the King who has saved us and the King who can return at any moment. During this period of waiting for his return, what are we to do? We are to work. We are to work. We work for his kingdom. Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that we need will be provided. We will work with the goods that he has entrusted us. Now, here's the question. What are those goods? Now, certainly we can say that the Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted his church with the message of the gospel, and that is certainly true. He's entrusted us with his message, the gospel that saves sinners. The church is the refuge of the truth, right? Paul says in his letters. But that is not the focus of our parable here. That's not the focus. The goods that we're going to be focusing on today is the time that we've been given, the skills that he has given us, and our money and possessions that he has given us. Now in this parable, we see how time is an important factor. The servants don't know how long the master is going to take before he returns. But every day the servant waits for that return, he uses that time to work for the master's benefit. Skills is seen in this parable because the master gives according to their ability, to the ability of his servants. Some of the servants are able to handle more responsibilities than others, but nevertheless, they have been given these goods according to their ability, and therefore they are to use it according to their skills. And money and possession is the third thing that is important. Perhaps you might say the most important thing, at least the focal point, right, of this parable, because the master gives his servants talents. Now, what are talents? It's really difficult to know exactly how much one talent is worth. Especially today's economy, you know, inflation and all those factors, it's hard to put an exact number. But generally, talent is a large sum of money, right? A large sum of money. And money is measured by material and by weight. And typically, talents were given in the form of silver. Now, scholars say, on the low end, scholars say that one talent is equal to 6,000 denarii. Now, if you remember, denarii is one day's wage. One day's wage. And 6,000, let's just assume the low end of that assumption, that one talent equals 6,000 denarii. So, 6,000 days of work. And in order to get paid that amount, that would take over 20 years. 20 years. So let's use the average American salary currently is $60,000 times 20 equals a lot of money. A lot of money. You can do the math on your own. We're talking millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And on top of that, the landlord would consider this to be a small amount. A small amount of money. This master was extremely wealthy. And keep in mind, the master is not handing this money over to a colleague. He's not giving it this over to someone who has a degree or who is his equal. He's entrusting his hard-earned money and possessions to his servants. Well, let's be more accurate to the Greek. The master is entrusting these millions of dollars to his slaves. Now, I understand, as an American culture, we have this assumption and these, you know, presumptions that we have in regards to slavery, right? Americans' culture, in our American culture, slavery is associated with race. Africans being kidnapped and sold by European and African tradesmen. people were property. We have to be careful not to import our American history into the text of Scripture. Slavery during Jesus' day was much more complicated. Slaves were seen as employees for the most part. And some even chose to be slaves to get out of debt for economic purposes. Slaves during Jesus' time could even hold high positions of honor. But even in their high positions of honor, here's the point. What does a slave own? Nothing. What say does a slave have on the master's goods? Nothing. The job of the slave is to follow the master's instructions. He is called to increase the value of the master's goods. So the servants will respond in one of two ways in this parable. He will either receive the master's goods and responsibilities as a privilege and act out of interest of the master, or the slave will receive the master's goods and responsibilities as a burden and act out of his own interest. Those are one of two ways that that these servants will respond. Do they receive the master's goods as a privilege or as a burden? Depending on how these slaves see and relate to their master, that's going to determine how they respond. How do they relate to the master? In the same way, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are a servant. You have been given goods. You have been given time in your life, whether that be 20, 50 years, whatever it may be. He has given you this time. He has given you skills, gifts to serve the body of Christ, to serve your community, to serve your neighbors. He's given you money and possessions. All these things have been given to you. So in light of the question is, how do we respond to what we have been given? Are we going to receive these things as a privilege, or do we see it as a burden? No, I'm going to act on my own interest. Well, let's continue on this parable here, in verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So the master determines the different amount of talents given to his servants. He knows what each of his servants is capable of. We tend to be, you know, competitively minded. So we think of, how many talents has God given me? Has he given me 5 talents? Has he given me 2 talents? And while God gives some of his people more responsibility than others, he doesn't value anyone more than the other. God has no favorites. And 1 Peter 1:17 says, God judges without partiality. Whatever God gives to us, he gives us graciously. Whatever God rewards us, he rewards to us graciously. Now think about it in light of what Paul says about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. Right? Many parts of the body. Some are hands, some are feet. Some are this and that part, some are whatever. But one body. Many parts, but one body. And a portion of that passage, he says, we are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, we bestow greater honor. But God composed the body, the members. That members should have the same care for one another. So it doesn't matter if you're the hand or the foot. We are all one body. And that's how we are to respond in this parable when the master is giving one servant 5 talents, another 2. We're not to be preoccupied what part of the body we are or how many talents we've been given. The point is, we have been given talents. We have been given these possessions. How are we to respond? How are we to use them? Well, it's going to look differently, isn't it? It's going to look differently for the construction worker, or if you're a full-time stay-at-home mom. Your lives are going to look different. Your skills are going to look different. The way you hold your responsibilities are all going to be expressed differently. But you've been given talents. You've been given time, skills, and possessions. But do you see the goods that you have been given, that the goods that you have been given are not yours? Do you see that? They are His. Your possessions, your money, your skills are all given by Him to be used for Him. The knowledge, the skills required to do your job effectively as an employee or as a stay-at-home mom or whatever it is your calling is, all of it belongs to Christ. The check you receive at the end of your pay period belongs to Christ. The place you call home has been entrusted to you. The food on your table is His. If the Lord has blessed you with children, they have been entrusted to you. Your husband, your wife, ultimately belong to Christ. As a servant of Christ, you own absolutely nothing. You are not owed anything. You don't own the time you've been given. Every second of your life belongs to Him. You never clock out as a Christian. When you're on the job, when you're at home, when you're relaxing, when you're scrolling through your social media, watching video after video, when you're scrolling through your streaming apps, all of it is done in His time with the goods that He has given you. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Does that bother you? If so, why does it bother you? Is it because you worked hard for those things? Is it because you made sacrifices to gain some of those possessions? Does this attack your dignity as a hard worker? Is it because you have earned the right to possess and use the things that you've been given as you see fit? With your mouth you may say, all of it is God's, but your actions say, I can use this money that I've been given as I please because I earned it. Ah, there is the entitled heart. I can use the time that God has given me as I please because I earned that time. I can use the skills that God has given me as I please because I earned those skills. You start thinking these really aren't God's goods. They're mine. Now let's see how the servants utilized the goods that they were given. Because the answer to our entitlement is to follow what these servants do. What these servants would do with the goods they have been given. So let's see in verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Now immediately after the master leaves on his journey, the servants waste no time. Right? They didn't wait for the perfect timing. They didn't wait for a convenient time. No instructions were given, as you notice. Well, no instructions were needed. The servants knew what they were supposed to do. The servants didn't stop and think, well, where's my cut? Right? What are my benefits? What do I get out of this? Without hesitation, they went straight to work. They used the money to begin trading. They took risks. They generated business with their active hands and minds. They oversaw every part of their master's business. If it was a vineyard, they were growing and harvesting grapes. If it was a wheat field, they utilized the labor, the resources needed to ensure that it was a profitable wheat field. Do the workers have the right tools? Are the workers taken care of? Or what is the quality like? From farm to table, these servants knew every detail. And they did everything for the benefit and advantage of the master. Do we see our lives in that same way? Or do we have these certain parts of our lives that this is mine, and that one, that part of my life belongs to God? Well, this time, you know, I'm going to sit back, is me time. And that time is going to be for God. But these servants do not have that attitude, because everything that being given is His, and everything that they have is for the advantage and benefit of the Master. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we to respond with what God has given us? Well, all of that depends on how we relate to the Master. Because you notice, after I went through all that list, nothing belongs to you, I did not say that you cannot enjoy any of those things. Maybe my tone of voice, maybe assume that you're not doing enough or something like that. But the fact is, the demand is still there, that all that we have belongs to Him. But how we utilize those goods, the time, the skills, the possessions, money, it all hinges upon how we see our Master, Jesus Christ. Because that's what drove these servants to do what they did. That's what drove them to waste no time to overturn every rock, right, so to speak, to with their ambitions, with their goals, to make the most of what they have been given. They didn't say, well, if I had 5 talents, then I could generate more talents. You know, if he received 2. Well, if I had received 10 talents, then I could do more with it. But no, the attitude of these servants is, this is what I've been given, and I'm going to make the most of it. Why? That's the big question. Why? What motivates us to do that? Well, the answer to that comes when the master returns and settles the accounts with his servants. And so again, we're just going to focus today on the righteous servants. Next time we'll focus on the unrighteous servants. So finally, the master comes in verse 19. And then he goes first to the one who gave 5 talents. And then his response is, you gave me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them. And the response is, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now you'll be faithful, or you'll be given more things to be responsible for. And the same exact reply is to the second servant, who had 2 talents. This is what I had. This is what I was able to generate. I was able to generate 2 more. So I have 4 talents to give to you. And the response is the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And here's the crux of it. This is what the engine that drives our hearts and lives, and how we are to utilize the goods that God has given us. Because this is the reward. That last portion there. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Why is the Master joyful? Why is the Master joyful? Well, the parable doesn't tell us why the Master is joyful or was joyful. We do know why our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, the Son, is joyful with His servants. Our Father chose us before the foundation of the world, knowing we would sin against Him. And yet, based on nothing righteous we have done, even though we deserved His wrath, even though we deserved His judgment for our entitled, rebellious hearts, thinking our lives can be lived however we see fit, that we ourselves are in the position of God, even though He saw that in us before Christ, He chose us. He predestined us to adoption as sons. This is Ephesians 1 that I'm quoting here. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Why? And here it is. Because of His good pleasure. Because of the joy of having adopted children saved by His Son Christ. One of the best pictures Jesus gives us to understand the joy of our Heavenly Father towards us in this parable, or is the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son is about how the son wastes the talents, you can say, or his share of the father's money. He wastes it, and then he's humbled, and he begins to repent. And then he makes a shameful walk towards the Father. And without hesitation, what was the response of the Father? He runs towards Him. He embraces His Son. The Father throws together a feast. All this to show us that our Father delights in His redeemed children. It was the Father's joy that led Him to send His only begotten Son that we would no longer be slaves to our sin. It was the joy that was set before our Lord Jesus Christ that motivated Him to endure the shameful death on the cross. The Spirit who opens our eyes to see the worthiness of Jesus Christ allowed us to respond to the gospel with faith and repentance. Repenting from our thinking, our authority over our life belongs to us. Faith in His perfect righteousness and in His perfect sacrifice to cover all of our sins. With the price of Christ's blood, we are no longer our own. We belong to our faithful Savior. We belong to Him as His servants. We belong to a perfect Master who unconditionally loves His servants. Our Master Jesus Christ tells us this: "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Congregation, the Father and the Son's delight in His sermons is what will motivate you to serve Him faithfully. His faithfulness causes you to be more faithful in giving of the talents He has entrusted you. Understand, the Master in this parable wasn't looking for a certain amount of increase. The Master could have demanded out of the five, the one who was given five, he could have demanded 10 more talents. He could have demanded 20 more talents. Why didn't he? It's within his rights. I gave you this much. I was gone for this long. Well, you should have earned this much. But that's not what he does. That's not what he does. Each of the servants increased the same amount. To the five, he increased five. To the two, he increased to four. I'm sorry, to the five, he increased to 10. To the two, it increased to 4. But the point is this: the fact that they worked towards the benefit of the Master is why the Master was joyful over His servants. What is directing your life today, brothers and sisters? What motivates you in all the decisions that you make on an everyday basis? Well, you can see how what motivates you by what you do with the time, with the skills, and with the possessions that He has given you. And so in conclusion, brothers and sisters, give the Lord your time. And here's why. Because it's limited. Christ could return at any moment. But also, even if He gives you a full life, it's but a vapor. You don't have much time. How will you use it for His glory? You know, very soon you and I are going to meet with the Master, our Master Jesus Christ. We're going to see Him face to face. And at the end of your life, you're not going to regret, man, I wish I spent more time on Facebook. Man, I wish I spent more time on this and that. Give the Lord your time. Also, give the Lord your skills. All of you have been given skills. All of you have been given abilities. And even as we can speak this broadly as Christians, but just even as a local body, all of us have unique gifts and talents to be used for the advancement of the gospel. And for the benefit of the people here at Grace Reformed Church. Even as a small church, every single member of the body is crucial. Even if you think, well, I just only like sweeping the floor. I just like being behind the scenes. There's benefit to that. And what does Paul say? Like we said earlier. To those who may seem that they see themselves as being a lesser honorable part of the body, that's the one we honor more. And where does that fit with Jesus' teaching? He who is first shall be last. He who is last shall be first. The greatest in the kingdom is not the one who sees themselves as first. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who sees themselves last and serves humbly. And so as the Catechism also says, in regards to our skills, that we, as a church, made a vow to pour our gifts into, for the advantage of the body. That we, as a body here at Grace Reformed, will not grow, will not survive without your involvement, without the skills that God has given you. Use for the church, for your neighbor, to love your neighbor, and to live your life in a way that glorifies God. And lastly, give the Lord your money and possessions. All of us could say, well, we have this and that reason why we give the way we give. But the real point here is, are we giving our best? As a local body here at Grace Reformed Church, we're here at the library because we want to save, because we want to build towards something more permanent. And that's really another thing that this parable instills in us, that we are working towards something that is permanent. Whether that we're building our family, our children, or whether we're building up the church body. We're seeking to advance the gospel together. We're seeking to love our neighbors together, to be a greater witness of Christ. That doesn't always mean just evangelism. That doesn't mean just specific ministry things, ministry type things. But it's also being a faithful parent, a faithful spouse, a faithful employee. And the Lord has generously given you what you have. All of it belongs to Him. How will you give in such a way that honors Him, that puts Him first? You know, if we look at our finances like a pie chart, I don't know, get too deep into this, but too often we give God the scraps. You know, we have to give our obligated things, our rent, things like that. But whatever's left over, well, then God gets the scraps. When God says, no, give Him your best. And if that's a couple dollars, then praise God. But this parable instills in us to give the Lord our best. And that really is the solution to the spirit of entitlement, is that we're generous givers. Not solely just money, but it is one of the things the Lord has given us that we're responsible for, that we're stewards of. And I know we're about to have our tithes and offerings in a few minutes, but this is not just for that. It is for your life as a Christian as a whole. To analyze your life in a way that these servants did. They knew top to bottom the business of the master. Well, do we know the priorities of our master, Jesus Christ? And is our life continually be conformed to the priorities of the Lord Jesus Christ? And because He is so generous, because He loves His people, we can use our time in such a way that we need rest. We need to do all of these things. Play with your children. Enjoy good meals and good fellowship. Enjoy all of these good things that He has given us. But realize that all of that is the Lord's gift to you. Enjoy them. Use it for His glory. Because one day we will see Him again. We will see Him face to face. And one day, by God's mercy, He will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And so let us utilize whatever talents He has given us to the best of our ability. Because He loves us unconditionally. Because of what He has done for us in Christ. Let us not squander what He has given us. May our desires, our hope, our priority be to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask that You would help us, Lord, to apply this to our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.